Warning, the following show will spoil the hell out of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire books and the TV show A Game of Thrones. Also, you're probably going to find a fuck ton of bad language. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Death and boobies, 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 death and boobies. Hello and welcome back to the Ironwood Network Book Club. I'm your host, Lady Wyvern, and with me today is Maester Ironwood. Unfortunately, Widow Wolfsbane couldn't join us because she's sicker than a dog right now.
Yeah, poor girl. She caught a hella cold in that Stark prison camp.
Oh, now it's a Stark prison camp, not a Lannister prison camp.
Well, all right, fine. I guess she was on the side of good, and then the Lannisters took her prisoner. All right. I guess she was on the right side. Yes, we are here today to discuss Catelyn 11.
Yep.
The penultimate chapter of the book.
You just love that word.
I do love that word, penultimate. It's such a good word. Nice 25-cent word.
Yeah.
And it is the last Catelyn chapter.
Yep.
For the book. So, quickly approaching the end.
We've got one more after this.
One more episode. Yes, indeed. All right. Before we get into breaking it down, I do have a haiku.
Yes, you do.
I do. It's a serious one again.
Oh, so no laughing.
For the most part. Well, there might be some laughing. You never know. But okay. That's more just a standard. Rob at River Run. Cat admits it's all her fault. The king in the north.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yep. Those are the highlights I took from the chapter.
Those were, like, the three most important parts.
Yeah. Mostly Catelyn admitting she was, the whole thing is her fault.
Yes.
Yeah, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch! Ooh.
I thought I was the one with the head cold.
A little bit of a cough there.
Yeah, ooh. Just a little. Just a little.
All right. So, let's see. Lady Wyvern has decided that I will do the synopsis.
Yes.
Because she's kind like that.
I am so kind.
So, let's see. All right. Let's do a brief breakdown, and then we'll get into talking about it.
Okay.
Get this chapter fleshed out. So, Catelyn and Rob and Brendan Blackfish and Rob's bannermen and armies arrive at River Run. They've lifted the siege, defeated the Lannister armies, and so they head on into the castle by boat.
Yep.
And Catelyn meets up with her brother, Edmure, who's now free.
Yep.
The Starks let him go.
A little disheveled. The Starks let him go?
Well, yeah, they freed him from the Lannister prison when they took over the place.
Yeah.
Let's see. Catelyn heads off to talk to her father.
Yep.
Who tells her that he didn't want to tell her how sick he was because he didn't want word getting out to Tywin or anybody else. Because of ambitions they might have had if they'd known he was ill.
Accurate, though.
Which is completely accurate, yep. Because they went ahead and did those things anyway.
Yeah.
And so they have a long discussion about what's going on. And then Catelyn says, well, let me go get Rob. Because he should see his grandpa.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever met.
Well, when he was like a baby.
So they've never met.
Right, so they really never met, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she goes to find Rob. Rob says, well, look, we got more important things that we need to discuss with the generals and whatnot.
More information has come in.
Yep, more information has come in regarding everything.
Yep.
And the situation with the whole realm. So he decides, nope, we're going to have a big meeting in the Great Hall with everybody. Edmure's there in Hoster Tully's stead.
Yep.
Rob gives a rousing speech, and the men of the North and the Riverlands proclaim him King in the North.
Men and women.
Men and mage proclaim him King in the North, because none of them want to swear their allegiance to Joffrey, nor Renly,
so they just
nor
make the
Stannis.
Problem bigger by making him his
by
own
making
king.
Another king. Yep. So now we've got
three kings.
Stannis.
Did Stannis crown himself?
Well, he's next in line, if Joffrey's a bastard. He hasn't marched yet, but
right.
Yes.
So. But as of right now, there's three.
As of right now, there's Renly has proclaimed himself king, Joffrey has proclaimed himself king, and the men of the North and the Riverlands had proclaimed Rob King.
Yeah.
So we've got three kings right now. We're heading towards our War of Five Kings.
Yep.
So we're still waiting on Stannis, and we're still waiting on Balin Greyjoy.
Yeah.
To join the fray, and then we'll have our War of the Five Kings. Yep. And that's where we're headed in the next book.
Yep.
Clash of Kings.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sounds like way too much politics.
Yep. It's a lot of battles.
Yeah.
Not a lot of politics, a lot of battles. And that's where we leave off.
Yeah.
We leave off with the new King in the North.
Yeah. I actually would prefer him to be king compared to everyone else, though.
Really? Even Renly?
Well, the Northerners did have their own king before.
All the individual realms did.
Right, before, what's his face?
Aegon the Conqueror. Well, before Torrhen Stark bent the knee.
Yeah.
Yep.
And relinquished his crown.
Mm-hmm. Relinquished the crown of the Kings of Winter and just became the Lord of Winterfell and Warden of the North.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine not a lot of people were too happy with that.
No, but they also didn't want to die in Dragonfire, so
yeah.
They might have also been a little bit happy. Which the men of the North say in the meeting at the end of the chapter, where they're like, you know, we bent our knee to this, we made our peace with the Targaryens, not with the Lannisters.
Exactly.
So I have no desire to follow Renly or a Lannister bastard.
Right.
As the king. So
right.
The only king I intend to follow is that one right there, Robb Stark, King of the North.
Right.
So let's get into talking about it.
Yep.
So we arrive at River Run.
Yep.
Catelyn, Robb, Brennan the Blackfish.
They're riding across the moat or down the river?
They ride, well, it's all one thing. The moat is the river, so they're riding down in boats, and they get off at the steps underneath the castle to take them up into it.
Catelyn made a point of saying the last time she was here was when she was leaving with Robb to go to Winterfell.
Yep.
After the rebellion.
Yep, now she's returning.
So it's been about 15 years since she's been home.
16.
16. Oh, Robb's still 15.
Maybe.
He's 15.
Okay. So yeah, 15 years, give or take.
Yeah.
So yeah, been a while since she's been home. But I mean, travel was a lot harder back then.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't just hop on a
back
plane.
Back then, quote unquote.
Right. You couldn't just hop on a plane or a train.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you like? We meet Edmure for the first time. We've heard of Edmure.
Yeah.
We've heard that he was captured. We've heard some stories of him in the past.
Yeah.
This is the first time we get to meet Edmure.
I still picture him from the show. Because, you know, I was that loser that watched the show before I read the books.
Dashing young Edmure.
Yeah. He looks a little dirty.
Yeah.
He's still blood-stained and smoke-stained.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't had a shower yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, yes, yeah, so we get our first introduction to Edmure.
Yeah.
Seems all right. Seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah. From the descriptions of him in previous chapters, he seems like a very skittish person making...
Yes.
Battle plans and kind of thing.
Yes.
So I'm not really surprised he was captured.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't seem like the same kind of leader that, like, Robb is.
Yeah.
Not this, like, charismatic person that people follow on just based on their charisma.
Yeah, he's definitely no Jaime.
Yeah, he's definitely not.
Yeah.
He's not king material.
No, absolutely
or,
not.
I mean, I would dare say he's probably not even lord material. And yet he's going
to
be lord of
Riverrun.
Soon enough, so.
His father's dying, and he's the only son.
Yep.
So
unless it goes to Catelyn.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Edmure walks Catelyn up to her father's solar.
Yep, tells her, yep, father's dying.
Yep, it's worse than he thought.
Yep, he's bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really get out of bed anymore.
Yep.
Didn't want to tell you about it, but here you are, so.
You're here, so might as well tell you before you see. He's got his bed out on the balcony so he can see everything going on.
Yep. You see the sunlight, and you can see all around him.
But
keep an eye on things.
Really frail, really small, really pale.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all, like, misered up.
He's not contracted. He can still use his hands.
He's all old and crippled.
You can be old and crippled without being contracted.
I didn't say contracted. I said all misered up.
But doing this means his arms are contracted.
Maybe they are. Maybe he's holding his hands like this. Who knows? We didn't see him, so we don't know.
Okay.
he's all old and wrinkly and tiny and...
But he's still with it in his mind.
Still definitely with it in his mind.
Which I think is worse than if he had lost his mind.
I completely agree. Nothing worse, I don't think, than being a prisoner in your own body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when your mind, your mental faculties are still with it, but your physical body just won't let it be. Yeah.
It makes it that much worse.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
I see it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Yes, you must see it all the time in the nursing home. Absolutely.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Because, well, these days, they get treated worse than the people that don't have their mental facilities about them.
Right, because they're just kind of left to their own selves because they're they're with it mentally, so they don't require as much attention. Yeah. Which is unfortunate. Which are the people who would need the most attention, right? They need somebody to talk to and keep their mind physically going and active and sharp.
Yeah, one of the saddest cases I've seen, she was 104, completely with it, but she was totally dependent.
Right, because she's bedridden.
They put her on the dementia unit.
Lovely. Yep. And that's enough about our modern healthcare system.
Yeah. Right. Sorry.
So, yeah. No, it's good. It's a good little comparison to where the story is and where we are. Yeah. Obviously, maybe even in a worse place than...
We're in a worse place than back when family took care of their sick and elderly. Because now they just drop them off and leave them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's too busy.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have 27 jobs because the baby boomers have fucked over the country so bad. So,
yeah.
Everybody's got to
really
have...
It's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so we hear from Hoster Tully. We can tell he's sharp and with it because he tells Catelyn, look, I'm dying. I know it.
Mm-hmm. He said that line she always said to him was, I was waiting for you.
Yep.
Because she used to always sit and wait for him to return from tourneys and battles and everything, and now he's the one waiting.
Yep. Catelyn Tully, always waiting on a man.
Yeah.
So we learned that about her
a
few chapters ago, always waiting on a man. And he tells her, but I didn't want to tell you how bad it was because I didn't trust sending ravens, lest the information get into the wrong hands and Tywin Lannister try
and
to pull some shit.
Riders can always be tortured into
giving the information or bought.
Yeah.
And you have to torture them sometimes, just hand them some gold and.
Lots of gold.
Yeah. They'll talk.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Just threaten them with torture and then say, you can either have some gold or some torture.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, please.
Yeah. Right.
So he didn't want word getting out of how sick he was.
Right.
Because he didn't trust Tywin Lannister.
I don't blame him.
Who's always had ambitions on the Riverlands.
Yeah.
And expanding his power.
Yeah.
So, and he turns out to be completely accurate and 100% right. Because that's exactly what Tywin Lannister did.
Yeah.
Went after the Riverlands. So.
Yeah. He probably would have gone at it stronger if he had known that Hoster Tully wasn't actually able to hold it himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think if he had known how weak Hoster Tully was, he would have maybe even made his move, definitely with more force.
Yeah.
Not just kind of like skirmishes on the end, but like straight to River Run from the very beginning. Yeah.
Yep. And
start trying to buy off his lords.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
So, what was the other thing they talked about?
We talk about Rob.
Yep. They talk about Brendan Blackfish not marrying a woman.
Yeah, still waiting on fucking Hoster.
He's not going to marry.
Hoster's upset. I'm his lord. He should do what I tell him
to do and
get married, yes, but he's still with his lord.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, eventually Rob could tell Brandon who Bran has to marry type of thing, because that's what the lord does.
Yeah.
He uses the family to make allegiance marriages, so... Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, we get Hoster's side of the whole Brendan Blackfish Hoster Tully debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Who they haven't seen each other since the day of Catelyn and Lysa's weddings.
Yep, because he left.
He left and went with
Lysa and Jon Arryn.
Yep, and became the knight of the Moongate.
Yep, as the Blackfish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because he's the black sheep of the family.
Yep.
So since they're the fish, he's the black fish.
And
he's taken that proudly in his coat of arms as the black fish.
I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
It's perfect.
I'm not as funny today as I normally am.
Yeah, it's definitely a subdued discussion.
Yeah. Well, it's normally more subdued when Widow's not here.
That's true.
But with me being sick and...
And not really... whole lot to talk about.
Yeah, there's really not a lot
until we get to the scene with Rob. I mean, we have this meeting with Hoster Tully.
Yeah.
And it's just general information, most of which we already know.
Yeah. So, blah, 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 he goes to sleep. Catelyn goes to get Rob.
To go in and see him.
Finds him praying in the Godswood.
Yeah, which is interesting.
It's very Ned of him.
Yes, very Ned that he would, after battle, go and pray in the Godswood.
And he has his men.
And he has some of his men.
Yep.
And Catelyn.
And Mage? Is that her name?
Mage Mormont, yeah.
Catelyn didn't realize how many of them still pray to the old gods.
Worship the old gods.
Which is really weird because they're northerners.
Yeah, and this is where Catelyn notes that she's not even sure about her own gods.
Or any gods.
Yeah.
For her at that point.
Yep.
Because what gods would take her husband?
Right, her husband.
But at the same time, the northern gods weren't south to protect Ned, so.
Right. Now, what's interesting here to me is that there's still a Weirwood in River Run.
Why is that?
Right, because it's in the south.
Right.
And there's not many.
And they worship the gods of the Seven.
Yes.
She was raised to worship the gods of the Seven.
Correct. And yet, for some reason, so, like, there's other places in the south that still have weirwoods, right?
Right.
So, Casually Rock has one, but it's, like, underneath the ground in a cave.
Yeah.
This one is in the center of the Godswood.
Yeah.
It's still there, which is interesting.
I didn't catch that.
Right?
Why would they have
a weirwood?
Yeah, if they worship the Seven.
And they're one of the first houses in the south to make an allegiance by marriage with the North.
So maybe they are still worshiping.
Who knows?
Hmm. That's like pretending you're of a different faith and you find a cross or something under their bed and they say there's something else.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that they're one of the few houses in the south that still has a weirwood in their godswood.
That's interesting.
Yep. And they're also one of the first houses to make marriage alliances into the north.
Hmm.
By having Catelyn marry Ned. Well, at first Brandon, but then Ned.
Hmm. Yeah. See, that makes me think of the scene, and I don't think you've seen it. It's in the second season of The Handmaid's Tale.
I have not.
Where Offred's on the run, and she gets help by a... starts with a J.
Jehovah's Witness?
No. I want to say it's a Jezebel, but it's not. They're just, like, common people that live in apartment buildings, and they wear gray, and they go to church like they're supposed to, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, they're just, quote-unquote, normal people. They have a kid, but they're not commanders, and they're not wives, and they're just, like, below them. They're common people.
Okay.
I can't remember. No.
I don't remember.
The husband was supposed to take her to a safe house, but the safe house was compromised, so he took her back to his place. He grabbed his wife and the kid, and they went to church. And she was hiding out in their place, and she looked under the bed, and there was his Muslim religious stuff. Mm. There was the rug and the book and...
Yep. Quran and the prayer mat.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be a Muslim in Gilead.
Yeah.
What's become of America under Gilead rule?
Yeah. Well, they ended up dying. They got caught. So
tragic.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
The wife was sent off to be a handmaid because their kid was orphaned, adopted out, and he was hanged on the wall. So.
Lovely. Yeah. Beautiful. Gotta love Gilead.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't watch that show because it's just like, it's like...
It's too real.
Yeah, it's like if the Republicans had power for like another 10 years.
But that's exactly why it was designed that way.
Yeah.
It was based in 2017. Well, so it was in production before the election even went through.
Oh, yeah, but it was written decades ago.
Yes, it was. And the authors actually in talks with the people that make it to try and keep it more modern, but still keep to the book.
Yeah.
Or what would have been the next book.
Continuation of the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, I do love me some Margaret Atwood. I first read that book in college.
Yeah.
Yep, fantastic book.
Yeah.
Her stuff's really good. Yep.
But I digress.
But we digress.
Yeah.
Good little conversation, though. I do like a little sidetracking here and there, as long as it's relevant. Which I think that is, right? Because you've got what seems to be some at least sort of hidden reverence for the gods of the North.
Well, yeah, because I didn't even think anything of it, because there's all these southern people, and they're in the Godswoods. Okay. But Catelyn's from River Run, where this god's wood is, and she was raised to worship the Seven.
Yep, she was raised in the Light of the Seven.
So, I don't know why I didn't catch that, but that's interesting.
Why is there a weirwood there?
Yeah. Hmm. So, Catelyn's waiting for them to finish praying, and she's looking around, and she remembers back to the time when she was, like, 9.
Yeah.
And Lysa was 13, and they're playing at...
She was 13 and Lysa was 9. Lysa's younger.
Okay, she was 13 and Lysa was 9, and they were playing at Kissing with Peter, who was, like, 7.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, her and Peter and Lysa were playing Doctor.
Yeah. In this day and age, that would be considered abuse.
Nah, he's young enough that he can get some handies and it's okay.
She's 13, he's 7.
That's fine. Close enough.
It's all good.
He tried to stick his tongue in my mouth.
Yep, that was funny. So here's the thing. She admits to enjoyed having kissed Peter.
She's 13. She doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. She's just coming into being a woman, and she's got all these hormones she doesn't know what to do with.
She's married like 3 years later.
Right, but you know, at 16, you understand them a bit more than when you are when you're 13 before you have boobs.
That's fair.
So, you know, it probably was just like her hormones kicking in for the first time, and she was experimenting, because that's what people do.
At least she wasn't making out with Lysa.
Yeah.
Or... Too bad she wasn't making out with Lysa, depending on your own bent on things like that.
That whole thing is just kind of perverse to me, but I was 12 when I had my first kiss, but he was 12 too.
Okay, so you weren't robbing the cradle?
No, I was never that disgusting. Never will be.
Alright. So yeah, so we got Lysa and Catelyn and Peter playing Doctor mm-hmm. in the Godswood.
Yeah.
And then Rob and his men and women.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Robin is people.
And they notice Catelyn there.
Yep.
And Catelyn steps forward and says, "Your grandfather would like to see you. I'll take you to him." And he says, "No, mother. We have important things to discuss. We have to have an important, what is it, like a war meeting or something?
War council.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is." So they get everyone together in the dining hall, and there's Edmure and Blackfish at the top. It's in a solid square, so it's like it's got one opening so people can walk in the middle.
Yeah.
Brendan and Edmure are on one side, Catelyn and Rob and Theon are at the other, and then all their men are sitting around them.
Yep.
Which I really don't like the fact that Theon was sitting at Rob's right hand.
Well, essentially, he's Rob's ward now, right? Since Ned's dead.
Right.
Rob takes over all of Ned's responsibilities.
But Rob's not treating him as such. Rob's treating him as one of his advisors,
right.
If not more, which is stupid because he is a ward, and he just because he was raised in the family his whole life does not mean he has loyalty to the Starks, no matter what he says he does.
No, but as far as we know at this point, he does.
Even if I didn't know how the story went, I just...
Really?
He was raised with them side by side. Doesn't mean his loyalties are to him.
See, I think it's hard because he's vowed his allegiance, right? He's bent his knee and sworn his allegiance to the Starks. All right, so we have the War Council.
Yep.
We've got all the Lords of the Riverlands, the Lords of the North that are with Rob.
The ones that could make it to River.
Right, the ones that have already made it, yep. And
I feel bad for the one guy. The one guy's there, he lost two of his sons that died, and the other one's unaccounted for.
Right,
so
his eldest is missing. Yeah, so
he's devastated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's because he has no more heirs.
Yeah. So his line ends. Die with him.
Yeah.
Unless he has another kid real quick.
Mm-hmm. And they have big news to discuss.
Yep.
From around the realm, which is?
They got news that Renly had married and crowned himself king.
Mm-hmm. Who did he marry?
Marjorie.
Smoking hot Marjorie Tyrell.
Yeah. I was going to say Highgarden.
Of Highgarden.
I was going to say Hightower.
Yep. No, not Hightower. That's in Old Town.
Yep.
Yep. So smoking hot Marjorie Tyrell.
Yep.
Is now married to Renly Baratheon.
A young maid of like 15.
Yeah. Maid.
Yeah.
Quote unquote maid.
You always have to pretend you're a virgin when you get married.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
In those times.
Yeah.
This time it's like, no.
Whatever. And so he has proclaimed himself king.
Yeah.
Completely bypassing Stannis, his older brother, who should rightfully be king.
Yeah.
And he's just decided to take it upon himself to say, nope, I'm the king, fuck you. And he's raising an army. He's got the Lords of the Reach.
He's got himself a Rainbow Guard.
Mm-hmm. He's got himself the Lords of the Reach because of Highgarden.
Yeah.
They're the ones who were in charge down there.
Yeah.
They're the wardens, so.
Yeah, so he's got himself a nice group of people mm-hmm. behind him.
Yep.
Everyone's all worried about Stannis, and nobody's was expecting this of Renly.
Right. Yeah, because Renly always seems more like the playboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, everyone's shocked to hear news of Renly.
Mm-hmm.
On all sides.
Yep.
The Starks and the Lannisters were shocked.
Yeah, so now they've got two kings.
Yep.
And they're wondering, do we make peace with Renly? Do we make peace with Joffrey?
Yep.
Or do we make peace with no one?
Yep.
And continue our fight?
Yep. Well, because if you make peace with Joffrey, then you're just making peace with the side that killed Ned, and this is what right. the whole thing's about and in the
happens,
first place.
And what happens if Renly wins, and you're yep. on the wrong side?
Yeah. And then if you side with Renly, then you're all traitors, and they're more likely to come after you.
Mm-hmm. So they decide, one guy, I believe it's Big John Umber, I think, gets up and says, you know, it was with the Targaryens that we made our peace
yep.
and our agreement, and we bent the knee to. We didn't bend the knee to the Lannisters.
Right.
Or the Baratheons.
Right.
So, I have no desire to make peace with either of them.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Catelyn's begging them to all just make a truce so
yes.
she can go home.
Yeah, she wants this done with.
She wants her daughters.
Well, she tells us it's all her fault.
Oh, yeah, she...
Please make a peace to fix my fuck-up.
Yep, because she's thinking to herself, if she had not...
Taken Tyrion,
none of this would have happened.
Yep.
And she's correct!
Right, she tells us such. And Tywin told us such.
Yes.
That the taking of Tyrion is what led to the war in the Riverlands.
Yeah, it wasn't Ned, it was Tyrion.
Yep, it was Tyrion.
Yep.
So Catelyn gets it right. She admits that she is completely responsible for what went wrong. For the whole war, for the thousands of people who died.
Yeah.
And now she just wants it to be over. She wants her nightmare fuck-up to be done. So
well,
she can go home and be with Bran and Rob and Rickon.
Just get me my girls and send us home.
Right. And that's...
The wiles of women.
Yep. So Big John Umber says that he... This is where we get to the big news of the chapter. The whole reason the chapter exists.
Yeah.
Is we get Big John Umber saying, there's only one king I intend to follow.
Yeah.
And that's Robb Stark, the king in the north.
Yeah.
And to Catelyn's surprise, it's not just the northerners who stand up and start cheering the king in the north.
Yeah.
It's also the men of the Riverlands.
Yeah.
Who are now basically...
traitors.
Vacillating themselves to join Robb. And proclaiming him king in the north as well.
Yeah. So even though they're southerners.
Right. They're with Robb.
Yeah.
Now. Which is not surprising.
No, absolutely
considering
not.
Considering Robb is half Tully.
Yeah.
So. And looks like a Tully.
Yeah.
So. That's what we get. That's our big news. We get Robb Stark, king in the north.
Yep. So now we have three kings. And all I can think of is, I don't know if this was a better decision on their part or a worse decision on their part.
Yeah, it seems like it's a double-edged sword,
yeah.
right? So you've got, on the one side, you're already fighting.
Yeah.
So you're already winning.
Yeah.
There's really no chance you're gonna actually make peace because...
Absolutely.
Because you're coming from a position of power. It doesn't make any sense...
To
then bend the knee to Joffrey, because Joffrey's not going to forgive.
No, he'll kill every single one of you.
Exactly. So they basically have no choice but to continue fighting.
Yes.
They don't want to bend the knee to Renly, because then they're just bending the knee to another king.
Yes.
Who could turn out to be crazy or not, who knows.
And it's so far south, they shouldn't be controlling the north anyways.
Exactly. So in reality, as far as this has gone... And as well as they're doing with the death of Ned Stark, they really have no choice but to kind of proclaim their own king and their
mm-hmm.
own independence.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Northerners do. I mean, the Riverlands. And the Riverlands, I think, is in that same position because Tywin already invaded them.
Yeah.
And already showed that the crown's not going to help them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Tywin is basically acting as the authority of the crown.
Yeah, absolutely.
And attacking the Riverlands. So they're in a no-win position, too, where they also have to basically no choice but to follow their own king.
Yeah.
So that's where, I mean, that's a position that they're in, and that's what they decide to go with is, well, fine, fuck it. We're going to call our own king, and we're going to call ourselves, you know, independent, and beat us on the battlefield if you want to tell us differently.
Yeah.
And we're coming to get the Stark girls.
Yeah.
Is essentially what they do.
And knock the Lannisters and Renly. But now they're going to have to fight Renly.
I think that if they were to defeat... See, you know, here's my thing. I think if they were to defeat Joffrey and get Joffrey off the throne, I think that Rob would, and we get this in the next book when he sends Catelyn to treat with Renly.
Yeah,
where if Rob could come up with something where the North remains independent and he's the king of the North,
it would be North and South.
It'd be North and South.
Yeah,
I think that he would be fine with that peace with Renly.
Yeah.
Renly doesn't have any desire for that to happen. He doesn't, as he'll say, he doesn't want to rule over a broken kingdom.
It's not broken if you've got half of it. It's only broken if you consider it broken if you agree it's half and half.
His brother ruled seven kingdoms. He wants to rule seven kingdoms. I don't know as though if Rob proves himself to the point where he's defeated the Lannisters and he's defeated Joffrey... I don't know if Renly then maintains that hard position because that puts Rob in such a more powerful position at that point.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he's got King's Landing.
Yeah.
So.
If that had been the case, if Rob had got King's Landing, Renly would have had two choices. Agree to it and you get half.
Right.
Or we'll go you to have war. To bend the knee or fight the Starks.
Yeah. So, but we never get to that point, unfortunately.
That would have been a good.
It would have been interesting.
I would love to have seen that.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. So, no. But yeah, Renly never gets that far, unfortunately. Poor Renly. Yeah. I like Renly, too. That's where we leave off.
Yeah.
We got the King of the North!
Why do you have to say it like that?
Because it just sounds so much better when you say it like that.
I don't think so, but whatever.
The King of the North.
The King of the North.
Yeah, the King of the North.
No. No.
Alright, we need a name for the title.
Title?
Name for the chapter.
Yeah. We need a title for the chapter. Yeah, same thing.
Not a name for the title.
What do you think, Mouthy?
Sir Mouthy has no ideas?
Interesting. He's silent.
What do you think?
Well, what do you got?
I don't have anything. Other than, obviously, King of the North. But
King of the North would be a good one. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
My only thought that wasn't King of the North, because obviously King of the North is obvious, the obvious one. One that I had thought of when we were first going to record the chapter didn't, was a Weirwood out of place.
I like that. We'll do that one.
A Weirwood out of place?
Yeah.
All right. We will go with it. A Weirwood out of place is now the title for Catelyn 11 of A Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Forever. Cool. All right. So what is our next chapter?
The last chapter of the book.
The last chapter
of
the book.
Daenerys.
Daenerys 10.
Yeah.
The Birth of Dragons.
Yes.
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 And the Red Comet.
Yeah.
The Red Comet.
The first sighting of the Red Comet.
No. The first time it's called the Red Comet. I remember Maester Luwin saw it.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. So, yeah, our next chapter is Catelyn 11, or...
Daenerys 10.
Daenerys 10. This is Catelyn 11.
Yep.
Let's see. Before we go, I want to thank our patrons.
Yep.
Patrons fucking rock.
Absolutely, they do.
Yep. So
get more.
Yep, get more patrons. We love getting patrons.
Yep.
If you want to be cool like our patrons, you can head over to patreon.com/ironwood, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get early access to the show. Uncut versions were available, and access to our patron-only bonus episodes, which the first one will be coming out in about a week, the end of the month,
yeah.
With our in memoriam for Ned Stark.
Yes.
Which is going to be a fun discussion.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to cover Ned's storyline throughout the book, throughout his life.
Well, from what we know about
it, up to his death. It'll be a good time. Be a lot of fun to talk about.
Be a nice long episode.
Yep. So that'll be a patron-only episode. Everything else will still be on the regular feed for everybody to listen to. For $5 a month, our patrons get to come on the show with us and talk about a chapter that they like or they hate or they just want to argue about.
There's a lot of arguing that goes on here. So.
Yeah, the patron episodes usually require a lot of editing, but usually it's a good, lively, exciting discussion because they're passionate about what they want. They pick a chapter that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
So it's good.
We have two upcoming. Eric and Minier.
We have patron. Right? We have patron Eric, who's coming on not as a $5 patron, but as a crossover from his podcast, the Glass Candle podcast. Yeah. And then $5 patron Minier is going to be on in the beginning of Clash of Kings as well.
Yeah.
To discuss, I believe, Arya 2.
Yeah.
Yep. And Eric will be on for Sansa 1. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a lot of fun. Both of those episodes should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Be a good time.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's see. Anything else online, you can find us at iceandfirepod.com.
Yep.
Or it's links out to our YouTube and our Facebook and our Twitter and the RSS feed and the iTunes and everything like that.
Yep.
Speaking of iTunes, head on over there. Give us a 5-star rating and a review. We love that. It helps people find the show.
Yeah, it's helped a lot lately.
We've had a big spike in listenership. Last few weeks, it's been pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
So keep liking, keep reviewing, keep sharing the links with your friends and family and anybody you think might be interested in the show. And let's see. We are most active on Twitter, so if you want to get a hold of us, the easiest way to conversate with us is on Twitter. I am at Maester Ironwood.
I am at Lady_Wyvern, and our other co-host is at Widow Wolfsbane.
So until we catch you guys in a few days, in the final chapter of A Game of Thrones.
Coming up quickly.
Coming up in Daenerys 10. Goodbye.
Bye.